Today we're going to be talking about service, serving one another. Three characteristics of a servant. First characteristic is that of putting others' needs first. Question should not be what's in it for me, but what do they need? What do you need? We're so very blessed here at this congregation to have so many men to split up the duties of worship and the Lord's Supper and scripture reading and leading prayers. And we're so very blessed that there's so many people that when you have a need and they say, yes, absolutely, want to give Fred a pat on the back for his lesson this morning. And I think he's teaching class right now, isn't he? So he won't hear this, but he told me it's been 20 years since I preached, and he was a little nervous, and he jumped up there and did it, and did a fantastic job. That's service. When, even though you haven't done it in a while or you haven't done it very often, when the need arises, being brave enough and have the courage to say, let's go, let's do it. The second characteristic of a servant is prepare to be inconvenienced. Service to others is not about you. It's not about what's in it for me. Why would I want to do that? That's going to make my life more difficult. That's going to inconvenience me. It's going to cost me something. And that is something that makes people overlook opportunities sometimes. But helping others takes time and effort, as we see in Luke chapter 10. But anything that is truly worthwhile does take time. Takes effort. And finally, the third characteristic of a servant is being willing to serve in ways that are unnoticed, that aren't in the limelight. We must be involved in the day-to-day lives and helping other people, even if no one knows about it. And we see this in Matthew chapter 6. There's going to be several passages we look at. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 12, it's talking about the Pharisees. And we know that Sanhedrin Council, the leading council, the government of the Jewish nation, was made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But we see the Pharisees were doing things, but they were doing it for the wrong reasons. They were doing work. They were having results or making efforts. But they were doing it, it says, to be seen of men. They weren't doing it to be of service, to help someone else. They were just doing it to say, look at me. Up here, everybody eyes on me. Look what I just did. Wasn't that wonderful? It's the wrong reason. And it even goes on later on in 3 John to mention a specific person. A man named Diotrephes. He was doing everything he was doing just for preeminence. Just for the recognition. Every bit. How bad would that be to have your name written in the word to be read forever as a bad example? How horrible. How horrible. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20. Passages there we're going to look at a bit. There we see the phrase, whosoever will be great, let him be your minister. Let him serve you. Can you name one figure in our public life in the United States, in our big society we have, a leader? Can you specifically name a famous one that has this approach? I don't know that I can. There's some that I would speculate, and in these times of political turmoil, I'm not going to turn this into a political discussion or debate today. But I know that George Washington didn't want to be the president of the United States. He didn't want the job. He didn't want it to be one of his greatest accomplishments. The biggest thing that he could check off of his bucket list, but he saw it was a job that desperately needed done. Our country in the fledgling days of its existence needed leaders who wanted what was best for the country, not what was best for me. And today we have leaders going in getting salaries that are hundreds of thousands of dollars. $100,000 to $200,000 is the salary of congressmen and legislators, and yet in just a few years they come out as millionaires. That doesn't add up, does it? Are they doing those jobs for the service of everybody else? I know the scriptures tell us, by their fruits ye shall know them, and those fruits don't add up, do they? Matthew chapter 20, we see someone comes to Jesus and asks a favor. This person, this lady, had two sons, and they were serving Jesus. They were going everywhere with him, and she wanted them to get a little extra recognition, to have a little higher place. The sons of thunder, they're called. And Jesus told her, you don't know what you're asking. I don't know, and we aren't told her name, are we? Was she blessed for that? Was she praised? I'm really proud you want something good for your children. That's fantastic. What they wanted, what she wanted, was it what was best for everyone? Was it so that they could be better servants? And it says that it even caused division among the 12. 10 others started talking about this. Can you believe this? Wanting the right hand and the left hand of the throne for her sons? We're told that they were the sons of Zebedee, but I don't see where we're ever told their mother's name, are we? I don't see that as something she was looked up to for. Was it bad? Is it bad when we want something good for our kids? Absolutely not. But her mindset, by her fruits, show us that it was not one of service, was it? Whosoever will be great, let him minister. Let's go on to John chapter 13. Totally different circumstances. Here we see that Jesus knows his time has come. His hour has come, and yet, in spite of the, the knowledge and realization, I'm about to be betrayed by one of my own. I'm about to be crucified a horrible death as the worst criminal that the most powerful nation on earth at this time knows how to humiliate and punish and put to death criminals. But who's Jesus thinking about here when he put his cloak away and he wrapped himself with a towel and took a basin and started washing his disciples' feet? That's not a very common practice today in society, is it? When my father-in-law was on his deathbed, there wasn't much I could do for him. But his feet looked really, really rough and dry and cracky. And I sat there. I didn't wash them, but I asked him if I could rub them with lotion. It was very humbling to me, even in that capacity, to do that job. I never really rubbed any other guy's feet before. It was kind of awkward, to say the least. But it doesn't make you feel, boy, look at the great thing I did. I'm powerful. I washed someone's feet. How many of you would like to just go touch somebody else's feet right now? And they walked everywhere they went without as good shoes as we did. You know it was a dirty job. And Jesus put himself away. Even his knowledge of what is fixing to come to him, he put that aside to try and help and give an example to his apostles and to all of us of what our outlook should be towards other people. That of helping them, that of service. Even to the point when he's washing Judas' feet, do you think they made eye contact? Do you think they just looked away from each other? I don't know. You know this guy is fixing to betray me. Let me see your feet. It's tough. Pretty tough. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. It's a short verse, but it says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. How can you make yourself subject to one another? What does that mean? To be subject to somebody. The kings have royal subjects. What does that mean? The royal subjects are what to the king?
They yield.
They're servants. They're under them, aren't they? They aren't peers sitting on the same bench with the king. They're someone to do something for him. And we're told to be subjects one of another. Has anyone ever asked you something? And I'm not asking for, like Fred, to have a show of hands. Has anyone ever asked you something that you can think of in your mind that you said, I'm not doing that? I bet we all just spitballing. I know that I had that thought before when someone asked me something outrageous that was not appropriate or something. And I'm not saying we need to do inappropriate things. No, that's not it at all. If that thought comes into our mind of something that is appropriate, that is not beyond the realm of normal things people may need help with. And we said no when we have the ability, when we have the time, when we have the means. How is that, if we say no, putting others' needs first? It's not, is it? Something we all need to think about. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 30, we see the text of the Good Samaritan. Someone was traveling, fell among robbers, they stripped him, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. A priest comes by, passes by on the other side of the road. Well, that's not really my deal. That's somebody else's. Somebody else will take care of that. I'm not in that business. I'm not a paramedic. You can hear, you don't have to stretch very far to find a reason why, ooh, I don't think I want to go over there. Likewise, verse 32, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. How do you feel compassion for someone else? What must you do? What's some phrases that we use in our society about empathizing with someone else? Put yourself in their shoes. Walk a mile in their shoes.
I know something about them.
But what if you don't know anything about them? Isn't it easy to say, I don't know that guy?
What if the person that's there and you recognize what he is and you know that he despises you? That's what being a servant is, coming up to what he did for a man that he knew wouldn't have done that for him if he had him on the road. And that is the kind of spirit.
And I think that even goes beyond just the incidents of helping a stranger. You're helping an enemy, which we're told to do, which Jesus was doing when he was helping Judas.
When he was helping us.
And when he was helping us. Every person has sin except Jesus. He died for every one of us, full well knowing that we don't deserve it. This man, this businessman, this Samaritan was on his way, and he wasn't walking, was it? Because we see he bandaged the injured person up and put him on his own beast. So he didn't say, "You stay here and I'll send an ambulance after you. I'll send an Uber." He said, "Here, I'll walk." Takes him into the town, out of his own pocket, pays for it. And if this isn't enough, when I come back again, I'll pay you whatever else the bill is owed for his care. And then he went out to his press conference, didn't he? Does it say he asked or sought or received one bit of recognition? No. Wasn't why he did it, was it?
Really, it's just the opposite. He saw how he was treated by others.
He did.
And responded to that. Despite how the upper class, those that snobbed him off, because he was injured.
He chose to be different, didn't he?
Right.
chose to be different. Has anybody ever told you, you just got to be different, don't you? I had somebody tell me that once. You know what I said? Thank you. I said, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be different to the point that we're called peculiar. We are supposed to be a peculiar people before the world. We're supposed to stand out, but not by beating our own chest, are we? No, service. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your right hand know what your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In school, if you were taking a test, and you gave the other people answers, you showed them the answers during the test, what will you get? A zero. That's what that's talking about right there. You're doing something for others, and then you tell people about it, guess what? You just got a zero. You got no benefit out of that. Exactly. It goes back to what the first characteristic should be of service is putting others' needs first. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. God hasn't given us all unlimited bank accounts. He gives us specific things, and we know that if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. The Bible tells us that. We are not to throw our pearls before swine and be unresponsible for the things God has given us. We're supposed to use them responsibly. So everything we take out of our life and give to someone else is a sacrifice. Even if it's just our time, isn't it? We don't have unlimited time. We don't have unlimited money. So all of our resources are valuable. We need to think about them like that and not use them unwisely. But we need to use them for the best we can to help other people too. Do you remember why the members were told to lay by and store so that they wouldn't have to scrounge some up when the need arose, and they would already have some there, weren't they? Weren't they told? Yeah. Absolutely. Do not do your alms before men. Do not sound a trumpet. Do not draw attention to charitable deeds. That is all the reward you will get. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Yes, sir.
Reminded of the way that Paul thanks his brethren in the letters, and I try to do this myself, but it's not the time to remember. He doesn't say, thank you so much for your faith, thank you so much for your love. He says, I thank God for you.
Yeah.
I'm not thanking you, I'm thanking God for his work in you.
Yep.
There's a big difference there, and that's, they were seeking the glory of men. That's where the disciples struggled, because they gave them glory. Glory should have been only to God. And then they could have switched over very easily and said, yeah, they're not from God.
Good point. Very good point, Austin. Thank you. Mark chapter 1. Beginning in verse 27. They were all amazed, so that everyone debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately the news spread about him everywhere throughout Galilee. There's at least a couple of instances that we see that Jesus told those who he helped, "Go and don't tell anybody about it." We know that fame and notoriety was spreading like wildfire when everyone was hearing all the wonderful things Jesus was doing. And when he healed two blind men, and also the woman that had had the health issue for years, who had so much faith, she just came and touched the hem of his garment. You remember? Who touched her? You remember what the apostle said? "What do you mean you touched me? There's tons of people here. How do you know if somebody touched you?" But he told them, "Go." He didn't point out this woman had so much faith, she just wanted to touch my clothes. He helped her and gave her what she really needed and said, "Go and don't tell anybody." Jesus was wanting notoriety and fame, and that's what he was about. Would that have been a photo op? Yeah. So many. The two blind men, same way. Have you ever noticed, have you ever thought about something about transfiguration? I'm getting off topic here for just a second. How did they know who they were? Oh, there's Moses and Elijah. They have pictures of them? How long had it been since they had gone on? Well, that's right. And that's right. I think that goes into where we're told we will know as we are known. And they knew. They had knowledge. They had powers that we don't have. I'm getting off the subject. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Once again, the chief characteristic of service, selflessness. Can you say it? Selflessness. What is selflessness?
Thinking of others ahead of yourself.
I'm sorry?
Thinking of others ahead of yourself.
Exactly. Not thinking of myself at all, to the point that you're only thinking about others, putting others first. Brett?
I think we have to be careful also that we don't take it to the other extreme, because there are many who will not do something just because someone can see it. And that's not the point. It's not saying, if you do anything, no one can see it. It's saying, if you do it to be seen, you're doing the wrong thing. Additionally, we will say, you know, we'll try to convince ourselves, well, I would feel really good about doing this for this person, so that's not really a sacrifice because I'm getting something out of it, and so I'm not going to do it. You know, we convince ourselves at the other extreme not to do good works because we will feel good about it or because it will be seen. It doesn't say don't be seen by others. It says don't do it to be seen by others.
Okay. In those instances where you, scenarios you're talking about maybe, where if you do it, everyone will see it. Is that the only time you can do that at? When everybody's around?
No, it might be an encouragement to others. If you stop or slow down or do whatever you did to help somebody at the store, side of the road, or whatnot, aren't you as far away encouraging others that maybe I should have stopped also? Or maybe he needs help with what he's doing.
Right.
So sometimes you can look at it as, I don't want to be noticed, but maybe I can be encouraged.
To answer your question, sometimes there is time you can wait, sometimes there isn't.
Right.
I mean, somebody drops something, you pick it up, a lot of people are going to see that.
And even in the presentation of it, if someone is needing some food, and you just come by and you give them some food, and you smile at them or whatever, and you go on, is a lot different than saying, hey, did I hear you need some food here? Hey, guys, we really need to help them. And sometimes people can be embarrassed if you draw attention to their circumstances. So we really need to pray for wisdom in discerning these things so we can know how we can best help them and what the best presentation of these gifts is. And sometimes I think if we're not careful, our gifts, our genuine gifts of love can be misconstrued if we're not careful in our presentation of when we give them to those people. If you shame or make someone feel ashamed when you're giving them a gift, they're probably still not going to want to be around you because you shamed them. You brought attention to bad circumstances. So we need wisdom to know the best way and decide the best way. We don't need to do anything rash. We need to think about it, don't we? We need to think about it.
That old chapter 2 there, telling us exactly what you're saying. You know, you need to do that. And Paul prays for you. You've done this even in my presence and without even more. In my absence, in verse 12. But work out your own salvation. That has a lot to do with what God has got you for. And when you do it for the right reasons, you give pleasure to God. So
exactly.
And you don't do it in order to just give pleasure to God or get praise for that. It's still got to be done in the way that so that you can do other things that can help the congregation that you're with or people who are without and then looking in on it and see them. And it doesn't necessarily have to be hidden. And you don't have to go after it to get praise. That's
secret, God sees, and he will reward us in secret. We are told that, though. We need to be very careful not to make a big to-do about when we help someone. That's this selflessness, doing what's best for them, not what's best for us. Barrett?
Sorry, I was just going to point out Subaru. My eyes like audibly roll every time I see a Subaru commercial because that's all they talk about.
Talk about all the awards they won.
All the things they do for other people, all the money they donate to all these things. It's like, did you want to talk about a car? Or are you just going to talk about all these good things you do? It's like, I think about that whenever I think about trying not to be selfish. Like, I don't want to roll my eyes at myself like I roll my eyes at Subaru. Sorry.
No. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever ye do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You are serving the Lord Christ. That's the inspiration we should be using when we're doing these things. And of course, as we're told, Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you visited me. And I said, when you did it for the smallest one, the least one of these, you did it for me. We need to remember that when we're thinking about benevolence. We need to do it as if we're doing it for the Lord, just like our work, just like our work ethic. 1 Peter chapter 4. Beginning in verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That doesn't say for him and you for your gifts belong a lot of glory. Doesn't say that. None of us, in a few moments when we take the Lord's Supper, when the communion tray goes by, none of us would steal money out of that. But do we try to get even with people? Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Do you ever try to get even with somebody? You're stealing from God. If you're doing stuff for glory, who does this just say the glory should be to? If you're doing it for your own glory, you're stealing from God. Hard to think about stealing from God. Stealing from God, how would I do that? Not that far of a stretch to understand how we can do that. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. First characteristic of service. Selflessness. Putting others first. It's hard. It's hard sometimes. Especially, and not that if you don't think of someone else first, you're a mean person. That's not it. Sometimes we're just busy. Man, I've got this to do and that to do and that to do. Oh, I really don't have time to go help do that thing. I think that could be one of the biggest things in this society for me that keeps me from some service opportunities. Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. There, beginning in verse 42, we see that the Gentile leaders, it says, were lording it over them. What does that mean? What does that mean if someone was lording it over someone?
They wanted to make certain that the people that they considered lower knew exactly where they should.
I'm the boss. Kiss my ring, Lou. Okay, you were nice. You can go. I mean, that's an absurd example. But yes, the Gentiles, the Romans, were lords over the children of Israel in Christ's time, weren't they? And that's why everybody was wanting that king that's going to run out the Romans. We're tired of being under their thumb. Them stepping on us all the time. They were lording it over them. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Anytime the Pharisees were trying to defend themselves for their lifestyles, their decisions, how they live their lives, they referred to genealogy. What would they say?
Children of Abraham.
Oh, yeah. What children of Abraham? Don't you know who my dad is? Have you ever seen people that acted that way? I can do whatever I want. You know who my dad is, don't you? That's how the Pharisees were acting every day of their life. Don't talk to us like that. We're Abraham's children. Can you imagine how the hair on the back of their neck stood up when Jesus said, "You're whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Don't talk to me like that. Don't you know who my father is?" They claimed it, but they didn't live it, did they? They weren't living according to God's will. But all the time saying, "Yeah, you can't get me in trouble. We're Abraham's kids." Mark chapter 10 tells us a lot. It shall not be so among you, though. The Gentile leaders lorded it over them, but they were told, it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Mark chapter 9. I just can't talk enough about Jesus washing their feet. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, resumed his place. Verse 34 is where I'm starting reading. He said to them, "Do you understand what I have done? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have." How many of the apostles do you think wanted to jump up and offer to wash James and John's feet after their mother had just asked for the right and left side of the throne? Mama's boy, mama's boy. I'm not washing your feet. See any example of that. So, yeah, it looks like they were right in favor of it, too.
Mark, that they asked, prior to like we were meeting with the mother.
The mother.
So that's what I was getting at there. Not that they stopped him or whatever else. I just, I didn't know if there was any talking about that. Like I said, I don't know if that was whatever.
That's my layman's take on it, is by the fruits I see of it, I don't see any objection by them in either case. And yeah, and we are definitely told it caused division among them. So before you do that thing that you're asking praise for yourself, well, let me get back to that. Were they asking praise for themselves in that request? Yeah, you're asking for the seats of preeminence.
It wasn't going to benefit anybody else.
It was going to benefit two people. So in that, asking for something that just two people are going to benefit from and nobody else, was that in itself, by the fruits ye shall know them. So by the fruits that came about from their deeds, did that show us that they at that point were being about service and service-minded?
There was no concern for any other's needs.
There was no concern for anyone else. They sure weren't saying, hey, these other apostles, they're working really hard. Could they have a seat of preeminence? They didn't ask for that, did they? They asked for themselves. Yes? I believe we have a responsibility in the things God has blessed us with to use it wisely, to know who we do give our things God has blessed us with and given us the responsibility of being stewards. It's all God's. We do not have what we have because I deserve it. I'm so thankful I don't have what I deserve as a sinner. We do have that opportunity and obligation. All right.